In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for Exaude, the seventh Sunday of Easter. The Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Thus far the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ speaks comforting words to his disciples as he prepares them for his impending departure. Words that should bring comfort to us all. Words very appropriate to this Sunday in the church year as we celebrated the ascension of our Lord just last Thursday. He speaks of the Helper to come. The Helper, of course, is sent for the purpose of helping. And what a wonderful thing it is that he gives us this promise. Because, boy, do we need help. The chosen apostles needed it. There are some Bible verses that whenever I read them, they still amaze me. Do you recall the very last words that the disciples spoke to Jesus while he was still visibly present among them before he ascended into heaven? Quote, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" If you had one question that you could ask before he was gone, would that have been it? When Jesus had called them to come and follow him, I suppose that's probably what they thought they were signing up for. The triumphal entry on Palm Sunday looked good. Yes, finally, the king will be king, and we shall be his 12 foremost advisors. Oh, then the crucifixion happened. That didn't look so good. But then, thanks be to God, our Lord rose again from the dead. So, all right. Is the game back on? Is it time to whoop some Roman tush out of Palestine now? Well, no. That's not the plan. And Jesus basically tells them not to try doing what they are going to do on their own. They're going to need the help of the helper. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high, Jesus says, as we have it at the end of the Gospel according to St. Luke. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. St. Luke again records for us, in this time in the book of Acts, the first chapter, the apostles were going to be witnesses, not revolutionaries, and the Holy Spirit still had much to teach them about that, too. One step at a time. Who's the gospel for? Even these non-Palestinian Jews? They don't even speak Hebrew. Even, oh gosh, those half-breed Samaritans that we hate? Even an Ethiopian eunuch? Even one of these Roman centurions are the people we're supposed to be killing, right? And just how Jewish do these Gentile converts to Christianity need to become anyway? Give the wrong answer to that question, and you may end up getting put out of the synagogues. Jesus warned that that would happen. Nevertheless, the Spirit would come, and these apostles, so fraught with their cultural baggage and their misconceptions, would nevertheless be used by the Holy Spirit as witnesses to Christ, and they themselves would grow in their knowledge and understanding of the gospel along the way. Thanks be to God. If you look at that ragtag bunch, you will be emboldened to believe that God can have use of us too. The helper helps. And we need that just as much today as they did back then. Every Sunday, before I come out here, as I'm robing up in my office, I pray Luther's sacristy prayer. Do thou be with me, for if I am left to myself, I will surely bring it all to destruction. That's how Luther prayed. It is right that all Orthodox pastors should pray in such a way. The whole church should pray similarly. If it depended on us, we'd be doomed. But then if it had depended on those disciples, the church would never have taken off in the first place. When we locate our faith in anything other than the Christ, who, though ascended, is nevertheless, as Luther's hymn said it, beside, by our side, upon the plain, with his good gifts and spirit, with his good gifts, you know, of word and sacrament, through whom the Spirit is given to us, if we place our faith in anything but that, we are doomed. We dare not trust in our intellects or in our feelings. For as I was again reminded a week ago, in the way I was brought up, or in our strategies or programs or anything else arising from us, we cannot do this on our own. We need the Helper's help that we may speak rightly about Jesus and confess Him with holiness of life and remain humble in the process. Like the apostles of old, most of us have probably been surprised along the way when the glory we imagined our faith would cause us to see in our lives didn't quite pan out that way. When we discovered that the Lord gave us a cross to carry instead. As one of those crosses gets laid on your shoulders, does it maybe leave you wondering just what the plan is anyway? Are we surprised when we discover that our Lord's words, "Whoever would follow me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," might actually have been more than just flowery speech? Life throws us some curves. We discover sometimes painfully that we misunderstood the Lord's plan. Difficulties arise that leave us with more questions than answers. We face all of that. The cross is very much on us all. So here we stand with the apostles, all of us perhaps wondering a little bit, what will come of all this? And where do we go from here? The first point of comfort I would offer you is this. We know Christ was crucified for our sins. We know He is risen again. And however many the questions may be that we have, we can always go back to that and start from there to get what answers we may find in this life. The second point of comfort is that we don't have to know. We don't. I get a little impatient every time I hear it. Some revivalist preacher says, "The Lord has a wonderful plan for your life, and it's up to you to discover what it is." Yeah, that's the works righteous hook, you know. Better get to figuring out what the plan is and what your part in it is and start working the program or it will all go to pot. I have good news for you, every one of you. It's the gospel. It's the good news that your sins are forgiven you. Yes, the Lord has a wonderful plan for your life, and if you never figure out what that plan is, you will not hamstring God in the slightest from having the full use that He desires to have of your life. Even if everything your eye sees looks like suffering and death, the Lord will have His use of you, and at the last take you from this veil of tears to Himself in heaven. By the grace of God, be faithful unto death. Do this, and you needn't worry over much about all that figuring. The Lord has called you to be faithful, not to be successful, not to be strategists. The second point of comfort I offer you, all of you, is that you have been given the Holy Spirit. All of you have received Him in holy baptism. You have all been sprinkled with the clean water about which the Old Testament prophesied long ago. Or for some of you who have come to us from other church backgrounds, sometimes people get more than just a sprinkling. That's okay, it's still baptism. Wherever you are in life, whatever the struggles that confront you and the questions that confound you, you have a helper. God, the Holy Spirit, who works in you to call you, gather you, enlighten you, sanctify you, and keep you with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, you aren't left to do this on your own. The Holy Spirit is with you, even when you don't feel it. The Scriptures give us some very encouraging words concerning the Holy Spirit. This is power from on high. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Or another one. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So I say it again. None of you are on your own. The Holy Spirit keeps you in the one true faith. He further enables you to will and to do all the rest of it. Thus, as our epistle says, so I encourage you, if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever, as we serve our Lord. We're not thinking about me, myself, my selfish wants, but how can I be of use to God, that He may be glorified through Jesus Christ? Use what God has given you. And then, don't get prideful. Whatever ability you have, God gave you in the first place. Rather, give God the glory through Jesus Christ for all that He accomplishes by way of you. Finally, How shall we receive this Holy Helper of whom our Lord speaks in this morning's Gospel? The Scripture again encourages us. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Those words, one of the neat things we learned in seminary was how precise the Greek language could be. Those words could actually be translated, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's meant to be an ongoing, continuous thing. You don't walk down the aisle and get Spirit-filled once. It's supposed to be an ongoing thing throughout your life. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So how may we continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, this is the Sunday of Exaudē, the Sunday of Hear Ye. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Dear ones in Christ Jesus, attend to this. Devote yourselves to the saving word. The things that God may be doing with you individually or with us as a congregation may not yet be upon us. They may be out there a ways. If so, well, devote yourselves to the word of the Lord now, that you may ever be ready for the wielding of the word of God, which Scripture calls the sword of the Spirit. Know how to use it. Be familiar with God's word. Attend to the regular hearing of it in the divine service. Dear ones in Christ, the apostles have come. They have faithfully executed their ministries as witnesses of the resurrection of our Lord, and they have gone on to their eternal rewards. The eyewitnesses are gone, but it is given us in our day to carry forth the words that they have left, that by the Spirit which comes with those words we may believe the Word of God in its truth and purity, and with the help of God, and with the Helper of God, lead holy lives according to God's holy word. To be living out the Word of God means, as we say on Exaudē, hear ye, first hear it, then you can live it. The 11 could not have imagined what all the Lord was going to do with them. Dearly beloved lambs of the Good Shepherd, all of you, I can't imagine, you can't imagine, and if we tried, our imaginations would probably turn out to have been wildly wrong. We can't imagine what use God is going to have of each of us, of this congregation, of the fellowship to which we belong. But of this I am confident, as we treasure the pure doctrine of God's holy word and continue to receive the saving gifts administered purely according to Christ's institution, our Lord will have His use of us more than what we can imagine. We may not even see it. The great use the Lord is having of us may be something we trust by faith rather than grasping by sight. There are those who malign us. And some probably think that as they do, they are offering God a service. We see it in all kinds of ways in the news. The havoc being wreaked on the Christian community in Syria by unbelieving armies. The vitriol spoken against Christians in our own country. Do not let this concern you. Learn from the apostles. Learn from our brothers in other parts of the world. Learn from many others. A friend of mine posted an article. I wish I could read the whole thing to you. But it showed these 21 Coptic Christians who were about to be beheaded by their Muslim captors. And the title of the article was, "The Church's Finest Hour." Learn from them. Learn most of all from Christ. What great and saving use the Lord can have of our sufferings in our lives and in the lives of others. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. As we move forward, the Lord will doubtless teach us some things along the way, remind us of other things that we have paid inadequate attention to. When that happens, that's a gift. Most of us are at some level resistant to change. If it comes from the Word of God, if it's faithful, receive it as a gift and make the change. Rejoice that our Lord honors us to be even more in His service than we were before. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Thus saith the Lord, hear ye. Bear the cross. Attend to the proclamation of the word, dear Christians, and support the faithful preaching and spreading of that word. Go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, confessing the forgiveness of sins and the everlasting life that we have in the name of the crucified, the risen, and the ascended one, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.